We're joined today by Padraig Rotuma, who is here to talk about his new book of poems called Readings from the Book of Exile, which has just come out recently. Padraig, thank you for giving up your time and for joining us here.
You're very welcome.
In the Good Bookshop. Padraig, for those who don't know you, if you just want to give us just a bit of background, just tell us a wee bit about yourself.
Okay. I am from Cork, a village called Carrigaline in Cork. I left there when I was 18 and was a nomad for around 10 years. I lived in Dublin and Switzerland and Australia and travelled around other places too, in Uganda and the Philippines and Lithuania for a while, which was great fun. And then eventually moved back to Ireland, thinking I'd settle in Dublin, but ended up settling in Belfast around just over 9 years ago now. So by the stage I got here, I thought I'd travelled too much. I was so used to the first year of new friends and new this and new that. I thought, if I like it, I'll stay. So I have stayed. So, and I'm delighted. It's become a real home now, so it's lovely. It's nice to be closer to family as well.
Wonderful. So you've written before. I've heard people describe you as a writer, you're a poet, a tutor. You also give very good weekend retreats. I recently heard it described of you as the best Irish priest Catholic Church never had. How would you best describe yourself?
Oh, I don't know. It's always an awkward situation when people say, what do you do? The answer at the moment is a whole variety of everything. Some writing. I do some work with Mediation Northern Ireland. I do plenty of work with the Corrymeela community. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that work would be involving groups. The Corrymeela stuff would particularly look at the intersection between group work and peace, or group work and theology. I would do a fair amount of writing work as well, in terms of writing poetry or writing pieces on advocacy, on human rights, on the interplay between theology and public dialogue regarding inclusion matters. So it's an entire cocktail of things. That's probably, ultimately, I suppose it's probably the way I want it. It can feel a little bit tiring sometimes, but I'm sure it's that way because I've ended up engineering it that way.
Certainly. And this is your first collection of poems that's actually been published.
It is, published a book a few years ago called, let me try to remember what the book was called, Discovering the Spirit in the City. And that was a book of reflections on urban theology. And so I had an essay and 12 poems in that. And it was really off the back of that book that then Canterbury Press made an approach to me and asked, could they publish a book of poetry? So,
Your book's called Readings from the Book of Exile. It's a deeply personal book. You cover a lot of issues involved that are close to you. A lot of the poems are biblically based. You include poems of sort of sexuality and of grief. What was your reason for using exile as the theme running through the book?
Exile for me really took on a very particular flavour and nuance when I was studying theology. So I did an undergrad in theology by distance, kind of like an open university model from a college in England called Maryvale, who were validated by Maynooth, just County Kildare. And when I was studying the theme of exile in the Hebrew Bible, so particularly looking at the experience of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people in Babylon, there was something of the fantasy of all that really struck me. I mean, Babylon as a theme enters into, like, from The Matrix to, you hear it referenced all the time, to science fiction. I believe that there was a TV show called Babylon 5 at one point. So there was just something of the fantasy of Babylon really gripped me. And, you know, the Hanging Gardens and Nebuchadnezzar and all of these kinds of things. But it was when I was studying it from the point of view of the prophets and the messages of the prophets to the people in exile, particularly Jeremiah, when Jeremiah wrote to the people and said, stay there, that the place of exile was the place of learning, that they should work for the good of the people, be involved, plant trees, and that even the kind of the complicated image at the beginning of it, of Ezekiel, the fire, the burning on the fire, the wheel burning on the wheel, made its way there to the place of pagan worship, which is kind of an image that God was not too small to be found in exile. That really struck me on a theological level, that took it far beyond the fantasy of Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Would it be fair to say, Padraig, that there are some words and phrases that you may use which may maybe surprise some of the more traditional Christian readers in your book?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, yes, that is true. I am known for a colourful use of language, so I felt like it would only be true and it would be a mark of integrity to let that colourful use of language spill into the printed word. And I, believe it or not, I did edit myself about certain things. I suppose I don't write... these poems were written to survive, and... The words I chose, from time to time, obviously, a strong word is chosen for its poetic impact. But really, the mark of a poem of integrity for me was, does this ring true to the sound and the feeling of the truth of the situation that it was in? For instance, one of the poems, which I can read in a while, is a poem called Postcards to a Dead Friend. And it was written it's a series of postcards written to my friend Cahill, who was my best friend for all of my teenage years. We sat next to each other in every class and went on holidays together in the summer. And then when I was living in Australia, I got that awful phone call that nobody wants to hear, that he was dead and he'd taken his own life. And it was a Monday night. My mum phoned me in Australia, and it was Monday morning in Ireland, and the funeral was going to be Tuesday morning. So even were I able to hop on a plane with an hour's notice, I wouldn't have been back in Ireland for the funeral. And what shocked me, I mean, nothing prepares you. And I mean, as things go, I mean, I was 24 or 25 at the time, and we kind of drifted apart a little bit, always stayed in touch, and I'd called up to visit him before he moved overseas. But, you know, it's not like we were in great contact with each other, but he was a part of my childhood. And a part of the very formative years of being a teenager, in a way, closer than a brother. Do you know, family wasn't even the right word. We just were. Do you know, my entire teenage years were mediated through the shared lens of him, and so I walked around for a whole day calling him a deckhead, just absolutely furious, and then shocked at my fury, and then grieved at my anger, at my grief. And so I'll read the poem, and that's in there because it's the truth. Postcards to a Dead Friend. Since you died, I've wondered where you are, questioned hell and threatened heaven. Is there a place for those who say they don't believe? When you were 16, you said that you'd believe when you were older, maybe 40. You barely got halfway. Since you died, I think about my growing years differently. How dare you take my memories and paint them with the bitter vinegar of your sad sorrows? I had enough already. Since you died, I see your parents differently. Solitary walks do not mean peaceful rambles, and framed photographs are not for artistic expression. They looked like they'd been winded for months. Since you died, I've thought about you more than I had in years, called you a dickhead most often, and lurched at what caused your final purging. Since you died, you will grow no older now. The 24-year-old Peter Pan of your mother's mind, her lost boy, caught in the never-never land between the grave and the sky.
Powerful. The book is divided in various sections. I mean, there is a sort of geography to it, but yeah. I'm going to just hand this over to you now. And okay. You're going to read a selection of yes. your poems and just to give us an idea of how the book's structured.
Okay.